coming of Mashiach. Va'afalpi, and even though she used my mayach, he will carry. In kovet, nevertheless, achakelo, I will wait for him. V'chol yom sheyavo, every day that maybe he will come on that day. The other part, Yigdal says, Yishlach v'kitz yomim, God will send at the end of days, it's an interesting term, the end of days, Mashiachenu, our Mashiach, Rizdos mechakekei, Yeshua so to redeem those who await the end, meaning the coming, of his salvation. So these are both basically say the same thing. There are two parts. One part is that there's going to be a Mashiach, and the other is that we're waiting for him. Right? Now, this is a very important dichotomy, because Gemara Shabbos, I believe it's Tashma Manala, says that one of the questions they ask you after you die and go up to heaven is, Tipitza Yeshua, did you look forward, did you yearn for the redemption? They ask you three questions. The first question they ask you is, Natata, you know, were you honest in your business dealings? That's the toughest question. You get past that in a good shape. See, peace of Yeshua, did you look forward to the redemption? Kabbalah, Ethan, the Torah, did you set aside time for Torah learning? And a factor that appeared in the regular, were you involved in attempting, although you don't have to fulfill, it's not in your hands to fulfill, were you involved in attempting to be fruitful and multiply, to, you know, be married and have children if possible? Those are four things they ask you. So therefore, it's critical for a person not just to believe that Mashiach is coming, it's not good enough, but a person has to yearn for his coming. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to believe that he's coming today. That's a popular notion which is incorrect, which is that a part of the animami, part of my belief has to be that I believe Mashiach is coming today. And in fact, there are people who used to walk around with packed suitcases, and Mashiach and Lakewood, famous having done that, gone wherever he went with a packed suitcase, expecting the imminence of the arrival of Mashiach. That's nice. It might even be a very pious thing to do, but it's not required. You can think to yourself, boy, the Jewish people, they are so messed up. There is no way Mashiach is going to come in the near future, and you won't be a heretic. Because, in fact, perhaps Mashiach won't come for a while. But, you are waiting for him to come. You yearn his coming, even if realistically you don't expect him to come today or tomorrow. So the principle, again, has two parts. I believe he's coming at some point. Mashiach is a critical component of Judaism. The part which is not, I believe, but rather a different type of attitude is, I yearn that for his coming. I really anticipate and am excited that someday he should come for a feeling in our time and redeem the Jewish people. Okay? I'm not finished. So far so good? Now, the question is, no. Just say what? Two words? I'm driving along from out of here for the disturbance. The disadvantage of getting Shira when he's not in school or camp. He's driving along. I'll be back tonight again. The question is, next question is, who is Mashiach? What is Mashiach? Is it Lubav Shereva or not? That's the basic question which we have to deal with. But before we get to Lubavitch Rebbe, and we will deal with Lubavitch at great length, but the question of course arises really for the first time in Jewish history at the time of Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba is actually not his real name. He calls himself Bar Kokhba, which means the son of a star. Kokhab is a star. His real name was Ben Koziva. In fact, some people read his name as Ben Kiziva. Kazav is something which is untrue on his point. So, indeed, I think it was disappointing. The Bar Kokhba rebellion, which took place in the mid-second century, approximately of what year 120 for the Common Era, was a rebellion in which the Jews of the land of Israel attempted to wreck control of the land, of the temple, from the Romans, and rebuild an independent country. And it failed miserably. And they were devastated, they killed to a devastating extent, after the rebellion of Bar Kokhba. But the time that Bar Kokhba came upon the scene, Rabbi Akiva, who was a big man, thought that he was Mashiach. And he went around telling people that he was, thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. And everybody said, you are wrong, Rabbi Akiva. But that Rabbi Akiva persisted in that belief. And again, we have to understand why Rabbi Akiva would think that way.
After you said
it, I'm going to show that. That's the first time it comes up. I'm going to go back to that title too. So that's the first time it actually comes up, the question of whether this person could have been Moshiach. And it would tell you actually who really was Moshiach. But Chazal, even though it's not explicit in Tanakh, Chazal, the rabbis say, there was an earlier candidate to be Moshiach. There was an earlier candidate to be Moshiach, which was the King Chizkio. The King Chizkio was one of the latest kings. Hezekiah was one of the later kings of the First Temple period. His father was a very, very evil person. So I believe his name was Amon, if I remember correctly. And his son was an even more evil person. His name was Menashe. And Chizkio was sandwiched in the middle, and he was a very, very pious and righteous king. And the rabbis say he was worthy to be Mashiach. Why was he not Mashiach? Because he appeased the king of Babylon, Babylon, messengers of the king of Babylon, when they came to the man tribute from Chizkio, he gave them tribute. And therefore he lost his capacity to become Mashiach. That doesn't mean that Chizkiyahu knew that he was candidate to be Mashiach. It doesn't even mean that anybody in his generation had any notion that he was Mashiach. But the rabbis say, based on their knowledge of the generation, the circumstances, the individual in question, all those things arrayed together indicate then that Chizkiyahu was the first person who had the possibility, the potential to be Mashiach. One of the primary prerequisites of being Mashiach is that Mashiach has to come from the tribe of
Judah.
But he actually does. He has to come from the tribe of Judah, and either his father or mother's side. And from his mother's side, then we know that he himself would not be of the tribe of Judah, right? Because the tribes are determined by patrilineal descent by the father's side. That's why Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, our forefather, according to the Medrash, thought that Shimshon would be Mashiach. Samson. He foresaw thought which he then rejected, that Samson would be the Mashiach, because he saw with divine spirit, with prophecy, that there would be such a powerful Savior, which was the rising of the Jewish people, and his father was from the tribe of, which tribe was Samson from? Dan. Yeah. From the tribe of Dan, and his mother was from the tribe of Yehuda. So we see that it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody from the tribe of Yehuda. It means that as long as that person is descended from the tribe of Yehuda, and the truth is who today is not descended from the tribe of Yehuda. In some way, shape, or form, every one of us has potentially descended from the tribe of Yehuda. I would say that there are many, many Goyim who are descended from the tribe of Yehuda due to intermarriage and assimilation. So basically, anybody is a candidate to be Mashiach. It might be one of you.
Unless you're calling
on no. So on the mother's side, there might be someone.
Oh, on the mother's.
Yeah.
So calling our lady to be.
Okay, but that's not necessarily true. In fact, a person doesn't know he's Mashiach necessarily until he becomes Mashiach. There is a, we say in Hoshana, which we say in Sukkot.
Well, I know this.
Okay. Next time you'll be Mashiach. In Oshanos it says that we say on Sukkot that there's a version of Oshanos, not a version of Oshanos, there's a line in Oshanos. It says, Kol Mevater Ba, the voice of the tider, you know, the person who's being good tidings is coming, and it says that the line goes on, and it says at the end of the line, Hu David Ba'atmo, that it's King David himself who is Mashiach. According to that line in the Shamos, so we see that Mashiach might be somebody who rises from the dead, the member of Yubash, right? So there we see that in fact it's not far, not beyond the pale of Jewish, you know, Jewish perspective to say that Mashiach might be somebody who rises from the dead. In which case, yes, probably the best candidate is David himself, because he was the first king. The Chazal, the Gemara is replete with all sorts of discussions about David being the king over the Jews at the time when after Mashiach, so it may well be that it's David himself. Yeah?
I thought Mashiach had to come from David's descendants, not just from Judah. Is it just from the tribe of Judah, or...?
Right, but otherwise Shimshon couldn't have been Mashiach.
But he
wasn't. What?
But he wasn't.
No, but Yaakov, I'll tell you what, the reason why he thought... The reason why Yaakov really was Mashiach was not because of the tribal issue, but rather because he saw that he got killed in the end.
So regardless of the Mashiach.
True, but it's not necessarily prerequisite, it seems, that it comes from the house of David, from the Gemara itself. The Rambam does, however, bring that down. The Rambam does say, yeah, the Mashiach is a king from the house of David.
Right.
Okay, so there is such a thing, but...
There's the whole reason why Ruth and why, like, Shmuel, like, one of the reasons, I forget why Bathsheba was so important, why she was, like, issued a death sentence for David, because that was going to bring on the line of...
It's interesting because there is a source, once I don't remember what I thought, that a source that says that actually, Mashiach will not be from Shlomo's descent. Be from Kila, one of David's other children. I don't know how we would know that, but I saw that once brought down, that it's not sent from King David, but not necessarily from Shlomo HaMelech.
I'm sorry to get back to this point, but with Yaakov, you talked about Yaakov. I mean, would it just partially just be a way of us saying that Yaakov Avinu couldn't have erred in his projection that Shimshon could be Mashiach, therefore it would be from any descendant of Judah? As opposed to being a direct descendant of
the Obviously, the Rambam holds it was wrong. I mean, Rambam holds right. Rambam retroactively says that Yaakov made a mistake. But, you know, it's not necessarily, I don't remember where the Rambam gets that Mashiach has to be from the house of David specifically. No, I don't know. And I don't know if the person has to know ahead of time that he's from the house of David either. Again, the same idea applies that, you know, we have many, probably all Jews today, are descended from King David. I don't know if, I never worked at the math, but if, because I'm not a mathematician, but if you take into account, you know, how many grandparents you had, say, in the 1000s, right? If you go back to your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, I think it's a multiple, which is about much, much, much more than the entire population of the world at the time, right? So therefore, the odds are very high that we are born Jewish, and even not born Jewish. But again, if you live in Europe, the odds are very high that you are descended from some Jew who lived at that time, or many Jews were there, if I might rather, and probably among them were descendants of King David as well.
So is it possible that Mashiach is an
angel?
Knowledge of the other.
No, it's possible.
Theoretically
possible. Could be. But of course, that would have to be revealed later on that he was descended from King David and from the tribe of Judah.
Yeah, he's Jewish, though.
Yes, he's Jewish. So that's there are many people today who don't know that they're Jewish, but are Jewish, especially right. Among the descendants of the Spanish Jews. I think there's a very high number. I forget what the proportion was, but a very high proportion of Spaniards are really Jews. Because of, you know, all the Greeks who went underground to Murano. Right. So I don't know what the percentage, but I heard it's a very, a number of things, a very odd percentage, maybe even a majority. Yeah.
The Mashiach can't come from descendants of converts. Let's say like a man and woman converted in, you know, the year 800 and spawned off a family that a lot of people
No, but it could be on the mothers. It could be because somebody else married into the family.
Once you bring in maternal,
yeah.
Maternal,
right. Opens up the possibility of tremendous.
The infinite possibility.
Okay, so the person who is Moshiach, what does he have to do? The Rambam says, if someone wants to be Moshiach, you could be, according to the Rambam, it's really, if you want to step to the plate and try your luck, you're allowed to do so. Go ahead, take that when you read the Rambam.
Don't you
be born to
shut it out as well?
No.
Or is
that not it's a figurative statement. In other words, the redemption begins the moment the disruption ends. In other words, on the same day the disruption occurs, that's when the seeds of redemption are born. But it doesn't have to be born officially.
Okay.
The Gemara says that the Mashiach was born on the Tisha B'Av, on which the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Obviously, it's not talking about the person, Moshiach, but rather it's talking about the idea of the salvation. Okay, so the Rambam was speaking of Moshiach is at the very, very end of Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is the Rambam's magnum opus, in which he discusses all halachos with Moshiach to do with Judaism. And the Rambam there writes in the two last chapters of the Mishneh Torah about Moshiach. This is Hilchos Malachim. It's Perek Yudalef, chapter 11, and Perek Yudalef, chapter 12. In Perek Yudalef, in the 11th chapter, he begins to say, he says all the things which Mashiach is going to do. And we'll perhaps go over that at some other point. But this is the one I want to talk to you about in the third halacha here. It says, do nothing. Shamel HaMashiach, that's the king of Sarda, Sarda Lethos, also to Moshe, they have to make signs and wonders. He doesn't have to make miracles. Umechadish, Baruch Ba'ilam, he has to make new things in the world. Umechayimetit, or resurrect the dead. Umechayimetit, Baruch Ba'ilam, and similar things. Shahakib Shimon, which stupid people say. Doesn't put any punches around that. The matter is not like that. Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol, one of the great sages, the Chachmei Mishnayot of the sages of the time of the Mishnah, Voya Nosei Kerov, and he was kept carrying the arms, figuratively speaking, Shaven Koziba HaMelech of the king Bar Kochba. V'huayom Me'alom, Rabbi Akiva would say about him, Shuvu HaMelech HaMashiach, and he was king of Messiah. V'damahu, I made a mistake before. It says here, V'damahu, V'chol Chachmei Doro. He and all the other sages of the generation thought, Shehu HaMelech HaMashiach, that he was the king, Messiah, Ashinara Bavonis, until he was killed by sin. Meaning, not necessarily his own sin, but the Gemara does say it was his sin. That's an important point to make. Mashiach might not be Mashiach, even though he's a candidate, for one or two reasons. Either because he muffed it, or because the generation muffed it. Because the generation has to have a certain amount of merit in order to bring Mashiach.
The candidate, can you do Teshuvah and still become Mashiach?
If he didn't die yet, yeah.
If he's alive?
Yeah, sure.
And I heard, but doesn't it also work on the flip side? The generation needs either enough merit, or needs to be at the point where there's just absolutely no turning back, that's it, there's no redemption at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, there gets to such a bad point in the generation that
Mashiach
becomes a necessity.
Right. That Chazal's also not taken literally. That thing is not taken literally by most thinkers because they find it difficult to depict themselves that there will be a generation in which everybody will be to have merit or nobody will have merit. It seems that somebody's going to be, someone in between. So therefore they say that it means that a generation in which Rabbi Dessler writes this, generation in which it can be you know who is righteous and who is not righteous. So you can tell who's kulo chayav and who's kulo zakai, who's completely with merit and who's completely without merit. Which of course is very hard to tell because many people are hypocrites and conceal what they really want inside. So
that's
right.
So if we have the merit, then that's two questions. One, how can we say that we think he's going to come if we see like every generation.
That's what I said. You don't have
good people and the bad people.
Right. You don't have to think he's going to come.
Yes, the hope. Well,
that's the hope.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
But so another question is that if that's true, then it could then if people got together, they could actually make Mashiach come sooner, right?
By all saying together.
The Makarios, all the 10 million secular Jews, and he made everyone righteous and good.
Oh, I thought you would say by everybody sinning together.
Okay.
We eliminated all observant Jews, right, and all observant Jews decided to become non-observant, then everything would be fine, right? Mashiach would have to come.
Well, the other side, that's
the other side. Yeah, but which is easier? So,
So,
yes, but eventually you can compel Mashiach to come. I mean, not compel, but we can bring about the advent of Mashiach by doing that. And so the Rambam says, so they stoned him with Mashiach until he was killed. Caleb Shanera, once he was killed, no Darshan Mashiach. They found out he wasn't the Messiah. Interesting, right? In other words, okay. Oh well, scratch that one. Let's try the next one. But Rambam's going to say this more explicitly in a few moments. The Rambam says, the rabbis did not ask for him neither a sign nor a wonder. Vikra Dvarim Kach. He says, this is the way Kachan is. This is the way it works. A little bit of aggression here, but I'll read it inside. Shatora Azos, this Torah which we have, Ein Chukel, Mishpatel, Mishtan, and Olam, its laws and its judgments, its statutes, don't change ever. Lomi Olami, and for all eternity. We don't add to them. The Lord guarding them, nor do we detract from them. The call most of Ogorea, and anybody who adds or detracts, or should call upon him the Torah, or he's brazen in his attitude to the Torah, both he has learned shall mitzvahs mikshutam, and he takes the words concerning mitzvahs and twists them, like the Christians did. The Rambam was very harsh with Christians, because he held they corrupted the meaning of the text, among other things. So then, I raised him a Bible, lots of because this person is definitely evil and a heretic. But if a king gets up in the house of David, he'll get the Torah, he involves himself in Torah study, both mitzvahs and does mitzvahs, he does his avi, like does his forefather, to feed a Torah to the Sanctuary Prophet, as is in the written and the oral law, the Yod Kukon Yisraelin of Ban Yimu compel all Jews to follow the Torah. And to fortify its wall.
Compel? Is that the word you use? Compel?
Yeah. The Yakuf is to compel, right? We have one of those language more. Kofin Oso Hashem Arosani. We compel a person so he says, I want to. Let me digress here for a moment, once you brought that up. I can have to point that out. The Rambam, the very famous Rambam, the Rambam appears in a couple of places in the Halacha. Specifically, offhand, I remember by Gittin, by the board, and by Karbanos, by sacrifice in the Mikdash. And he says, if a person is required by law to give his wife a get, we beat him until he gives the get.
Voluntarily.
What?
Until he gives the get. Voluntarily, we beat him until he voluntarily.
Exactly. So the Rambam says, that's the point. What?
That's written. Halakhically,
you beat a get out of somebody? I'm not saying that. That's not like a beat up. The Jewish court has to decide that he's worthy to be beaten. Because the circumstances are such that he has to be compelled to do that.
What?
It's a beautiful Rambam, it's a very important Rambam to know. And same thing it says here, it says by Kabbalah. Mishra Dino says, if the law dictates, Shakokin also Garishisha, that somebody must divorce his wife, the law also Garish, he doesn't want to divorce her, Hashem Shah Yisrael with Jewish court, the Chomachom, not at all times, in all places, the Chosman, and at all times, meaning even our day and age, Makin Oso, we beat him, Hashem Roshanim, so he says, I want to give it, the Yisrael Vaget, and he writes the get, who get kosher. The chay, and so to imiko goy, you hire Vinny to beat him, right? Not that Jews don't want to stain their hands with his blood. So you hire Vinny and Tony to do it. Chay imiko goy, the goy come and beat him. V'amul when they say to you, say to him, atzei machiso omilucha. Do what the Jew, the rabbis are telling us to do. V'raksu also, and you still have a bidat goy, and the Jews provide pressure. Through the non-Jews, after Garish, until he divorces, I raise the kosher. Don't forget. You know, at Shmon, if, however, the non-Jews themselves, unto, in other words, Tony and me are trying their own, they don't want to get this Jewish guy to give a get, and they compel him, after Garish, get, until he writes the get, followed by Vino saying, Mashiach, so, really, you're talking about a guy who should divorce. We're required by law to divorce, but the base did not instruct the goyim to make sure that, you know, this is enforced the divorce. So I raise a good puzzle. I'm saying the get is puzzle, meaning it's no good by rabbinic decree. From the Torah, it would be okay. But rabbi said it has to be specifically the case where the base is, the court told the non-Jews to go ahead. Now, here comes the critical part of rabbi. This is very beautiful what Rambam says. Now, Rambam, as we know, is a big rationalist, right? Everybody know that? Rambam, he didn't hold of all this touchy-feely stuff. That's what Rambam writes. But what the little fuck I'll get there? Why don't we say that a get like this is totally no good? Even on a ton of levels. Shareza Onus. It's a compelled get. Baby has volume. Where does it set the hands of Jews? Or non-Jews? Baby has soul. The hands of the Jews. Sha'ei Omrim. So says Rambam, I tell you what. We don't say, error, only concerning Ramisha Nilchas, somebody to whom pressure was applied, Vimchat, and he was forced, Lassos Davar, to do something, She'eno Mechuyah Minasayor Lassoso. A person is forced to do something which the Torah does not require him to do, then we say, that's not valid. Shizom, such as, Mishuka Achem Mocha, if somebody is hit, beaten, until he sells his field. Or Hoshanotran, or gives something as a gift. Then we say, compelled? No one. But, Mishatapo Yitro Hara, somebody who is afflicted by his evil inclination, Levatel HaMitzvah, not to fulfill a mitzvah, or Latos HaMitzvah to commit a sin, for Hukah, and then he's beaten? Asher Osa Zavar, Shechai Latos until he does something which he's required to do? Or until he was removed, distance from something which is forbidden to, ain't the onus menu, he's not considered to be compelled by us. Elohu or not esmo bidatoha ra. He compelled himself when he had a negative intent not to give the get. This is what I'm saying about a Jew. A Jew's primary inherent desire and will is to do the will of God as interpreted by the sages. If he's not doing the will of God, that's not a human. That's the Yetzirah, right? The little devil with the pitchfork who's pushing him in the wrong direction. So why do we beat him? We beat him to get the devil off his back. Once the devil is off his back, so of course he does what every Jew wants to do, which is the will of God. Rambam goes back and says, Lefichah. Therefore, that in Elisha Lazarus, just so he doesn't want to divorce, Mechashu wrote on Yosemite Yisrael, since he wants to be a Jew, wrote that who are so called mitzvot. His real will and his real desire is to do all the mitzvot. Ulisrachet when are there is to stay away from the sin. The Yisrael who should suffer, his Yetzer Hara, his negative inclinations, pushed him, shoved him, attacked him, is the right word, and came to Hukah, once he's beaten, Ashikasha Shitro, until the evil inclination is weakened, V'amar rotzani, and now he says, I want to do it. But he raised the ritzono. He's now divorcing out of his own will and volition. Isn't that amazing, Rambam? Okay.
I'm not sure the term beats the devil.
Right, that's exactly what it is. In other words, he has a negative overlay, which is not allowing his inner will to emerge. It's a very mystical concept. If I wouldn't tell you that Rambam is saying this, you'd think some Kabbalist said this. But this is one of the greatest rationalists and anti-Kabbalists of all time. He's saying quite clearly that the Jewish soul is inherently one which wants to do the will of God. So, the same thing here with Mashiach, right? What Mashiach does is he brings out our inner will. Our inner will has been, distorted, has been covered over, has been neglected. Well, Mashiach has to just fly the whip a few times, and all of a sudden, all that inner will comes gushing
out. So, is that an essential part, or is it just optional? Can we expect that the Mashiach, when he comes along, if we see somebody, he will necessarily have to be compelling people by force?
If they don't come along willfully?
Yeah.
That's the job.
If he's going to send out...
I don't send Tony and Vinny. Yeah. You know, he sends Angel Gabriel and Angel Mikhail and Vinny. But he's going to send
that. You can see how it might be problematic if somebody in the Jewish community makes a mistake about who really is the Messiah.
No, he thinks Mashiach and he's not.
That's right. And they start sending out Vinny and Tony.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, okay, halacha is a dangerous thing. Yeah.
So according to that philosophy, let's say Israel, if you just create a theocracy with a ruling king, and then that king just enforced all halakhic laws to the letter of the law or Shulchan Aruch, and just basically compelled people to do everything, that would be technically halakhically acceptable, according to his view. And then he could be the Mashiach, because he tells everyone to be beaten out of everyone.
Right, but there are other conditions. He has to do other stuff, which we haven't gotten to yet. But that's, it's supposed to do that. By the way, in the state of Israel today, if a Jewish court decrees that you have to do the get, then, and you refuse to do so, then they take away your driver's license. They take away your passport. And if you still don't give the get, they throw you in jail. Now, I personally think they should beat the guy to death. They clearly said yes, but since I guess we're more civilized, quote unquote.
You do or you don't?
What?
You don't believe they should beat him to death.
No, I do believe they should.
You do believe they should beat him to death.
Okay. I love that guy.
I love that guy. Me and Khomeini were on the same side. I do believe they should beat him. I believe it's not sufficient. If it's not sufficient to throw the guy in jail, then of course you should be beaten. The famous
people
in jail. What? I don't know. The famous story about Rabbi Akiva, I don't know if it's true or not true, but it's an interesting story, which is that once a woman whose husband was recalcitrant and was not willing to give her a get, brought him to Rabbi Akiva, a great sage of the 19th century in what's now Poland, but was then Germany. And he said, Rabbi Akiva just said, if you want a get, and he refused to do so. And he opened up the Gemara to the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. And so it showed him, in the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, he says, a woman acquires herself in two ways. The get, by force, or the use of Kabbalah, and the death of the husband. If one way doesn't work, then it goes to the other way. And the guy walked out the room, fell down the stairs, broke his neck, died, and everybody was happily ever after, because of him, of course. But I subscribe to the spirit of that story. Like if a guy...
Except that you push him down the staircase.
What?
Except that you push him down the staircase.
You can't kill him directly.
You can't kill him
directly. You can't kill him. If in the course of beating, he happens to die, oh well.
Oh.
Seriously, if a woman has, the way Jewish law is constructed, the only way a woman can get divorced is by... But, in certain cases, if I had, things beaten out of... Hello? Yes?
Can you explain the difference
in a few minutes, I'm just okay? Bye. In a few minutes. Okay, I'm coming soon. Okay, bye. Another kid. Besides, I was just wrapping up for today. You see, there is no other way for we don't dissolve marriages in Judaism. There are rare cases in which a match can be resolved if it was proven that the husband was insane at the time he had married her. There was some condition which he kept hidden from her, or other very rare circumstances. But if you have a basically sane person, instead of anybody who doesn't give his wife a get insane, if a basically sane person who refuses to give his wife a get, and based on his rules, this guy should give his wife a get, so what recourse do you have to do? What else is this person?
Or is it
dead?
What? How do you prove insanity?
It's very hard.
Oh, but the Torah says it has to be voluntary, right? You have to voluntarily give a get.
But that's what I'm trying to explain. Why? How can it be voluntary if you have to beat him?
You beat him to the point.
You might not like the Rambam. You don't have to like the Rambam. But your Rambam was bothered by the same question you're bothered by. And that's how why he came up with this tremendous novel idea, which is that we beat him to get his inner will out of him. He's bothered by the same thing you're bothered by. That's what he has to say.
I heard Mashiach has to come by the year 6,000, or
in that kind of question. It's Gemara Sanhedrin. Gemara Sanhedrin says that this world is 6,000 years, and then it's destroyed and rebuilt. Which is what we'll get to, of course, in later. Greater detail, we talk about Olam Haba. So from that, people make assume that Mashiach has come in the year 6,000. But they don't guarantee. In other words,
well, the world
does not be destroyed. Or, that's the Mashiach. But the world does not necessarily destroy the year 6,000. So it doesn't appear anywhere in Halach that the world destroyed the year 6,000. So it's Haggadah. You know, it's Haggadah. Not everything in Haggadah is taken literally or is necessarily accurate forecast. So therefore, we assume that by the use of Shabbat Mashiach has to come, but there are no ironclad guarantees.
Is there also, I heard that something happened with the Aliyah Mazi and the arrival of...
Yeah, we're going to get to that. All that will come up. Okay, so we'll have to stop here for today, because I'm getting this call from home. But we'll come back on Monday, Mr. Hashem, to the issue of what Mashiach has to do in order to demonstrate that he's Mashiach. So far, the one thing we saw was compelling the Jews to do the will of God.
Have a good one.